Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor at the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. You're always welcome at our Sunday services. Worship at Salem is at 8:30. Sunday school in California is at 9:30 with donuts, coffee, and juice available in the gym, followed by worship at 10:30. We have a nursery for your children. We would be so excited to have you attend our Sunday service as we worship together as one family serving Christ. This Sunday, we finish our sermon series, Back to School, looking at the book of James. We will be in James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12, to see that the growing Christian presses on. We see in these verses that the growing Christian must be patient, must persevere, and must persuade others to follow Jesus in the midst of sufferings and trials of all kinds. James 1:12 says it best, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Don't give up. Don't quit. Your faith one day will be richly rewarded. May God bless you this week with his strength and hope. We thank you for listening.
Our service is led this week by a guest minister, Reverend Howard Ellis from Holt Summit, Missouri.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the day that the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
This is a day of resurrection and new life.
We will rejoice and be glad.
This is the day when Christ feeds all and all at his banquet.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Let us worship with joy and gladness.
Amen.
Our children's time is led by Joanne Cantrell.
Do you all know what the word faith means? What does it mean, Hunter? That you believe. Okay, believe in what? God, okay? What else can we have faith in? Max, what is it? Good. Faith in good things, yes, that's good. What else?
Love.
Love, yeah, we can have faith in love. What else? In people, yes.
And love for each other.
And love for each other, yes. In what? In doggies too, yes, we can have faith in doggies. But do you know, how much faith are we supposed to have?
A lot.
As much as God has, yeah. How much faith should we have? Same amount as God, okay. Can you see what's in my little bag right here? Can you see that? There's air, yeah, there's a lot of air in there. But what's right down there in the corner? Little seeds. What kind of seeds are they? No, it's not a seashell.
I think it's like
flower seeds. You think, what is it, Hunter? A mustard seed. It's one of the tiniest seeds other than a poppy seed, right? That's how much faith Jesus said we should have. That much. Why? If we had a whole bunch of faith and could do all kinds of things, like Jesus said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could tell a tree to move and that tree would jump up and take off. Do you have that much faith? I bet we don't, but that's how much he says we need. Just the size of a mustard seed. You think you have that much faith? Do we have that much faith of a mustard seed? Some days we do and other days I bet we don't. But you know, if we had a whole lot of faith and we could make a lot of things happen, then you know what? I bet we would take credit for it when really it was Jesus that did it, wouldn't we? Because we're human, we tend to be a little boastful, and we kind of think sometimes that we're a little stronger, a little better than we're supposed to be. So that's why Jesus says all we need is the faith of that little bitty seed right there. And then watch what God does for us. Because it is God that does it and not us. Isn't that right? So let's say a prayer, okay? Dear God, please give each one of us the faith of a mustard seed to believe that Jesus, through you and God, all things are possible. Amen.
Our anthem is How Beautiful, sung by our senior choir, directed by Stacy Frederick.
How beautiful.
scripture is read by Elizabeth Ash, followed by Pastor Ellis's sermon.
The first lesson comes from Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The oracle of God which Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and thou wilt not hear? Or cry to thee violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou make me see wrongs and look upon trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is slacked, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. I will take my stand to watch and station myself on the tower and look forth to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. The Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain upon tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, he whose soul is not upright in him shall fail, but the righteous shall live by his faith. The second lesson comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as did my fathers, when I remember you constantly in my prayers. As I remember your tears, I long night and day to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you. Hence, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. Do not be ashamed, then, of testifying to our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but take our share of suffering for the gospel and the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not in virtue of our works, but in virtue of his own purpose, in the grace which he gave us in Christ Jesus ages ago, and now has manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, and therefore I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day that has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words which you have heard from me, in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard the truth that has been entrusted to you by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Here ends the second lesson.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter, and we'll read verses 5 through 10. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Jesus replied, if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come in here at once and sit down, take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink, and later you can eat and drink? Do you thank the slave for what was doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have only done what we ought to have done. Increase our faith. That's what the disciples ask. In a way, that's what's going on today. Well, I suspect you may have all kinds of reasons for coming to church,
But the real reason is that you want to increase your faith. I think that's fair bet. Most people somehow want to see this as a time to rejuvenate my faith. After all, when you leave here today, you'll go out and face a world that is hostile, that will want to eat into your faith just like acid. We have a fairly good crowd today. I was really amazed at the crowd. But you know what? There are plenty of people here in California that are not here. There's a lot of people that don't go to church. That's just amazing what's out there. But you have faith. That's why you're here. Faith in the truth about God. That this is the last word about where the world is headed, but most where you work do not think that. Most people around you in this town perhaps don't. You may like them, you may know them, but I'm sure in their heart of hearts don't totally agree with you. That is a way of diminishing your faith after a while. Why don't more people share the faith with us that we have? The disciples speak for many of us here today, imploring Jesus, increase our faith. Sometimes as people grow and mature, they find their faith actually starts to shrink. You know, I don't care for the phrase, really, is a childlike faith. I don't know about you, but is that like saying, I want to return to the back to my childhood when I could believe anything? Children have a way of accepting things, simple answers for deep truths. Maybe that's helpful, maybe it's not. But sometimes we need to grapple, and our faith can latch on to that. Many of us find as we grow up, just what we learned as a child is maybe true, but it's inadequate to what we need to live and be a part of this world. Many people who are come to faith when they're young, they make commitments about how they will live, make promises to God about what they will do and not do, then life gets complicated. They feel themselves pulled in conflicting directions. I've worked with confirmation kids for years in a catechism class, and I've noticed this. On the day of their confirmation, every single child, every young person up there is serious. They're serious about their future. They really do believe they want to go into the world. They want to go out and live a Christian life. Soon, though, something happens. They never come back to church. Maybe they drift away for whatever reason. Their youthful determination to do right and to live wilts. And they disappoint themselves in their inability to live as they so intended on the day of their confirmation. Does that sound familiar? Today's gospel might be addressed to you. It might be addressed to anyone who feels like their faith is waning. Let's look at those disciples. They'd had a pretty good life, hadn't they, with Jesus? They followed him every step of the way. And now the midpoint of Luke's gospel, things are changing. But before that, it was a good life. It was a good ride. They were with a popular preacher. People wanted to hear Jesus. They came from miles around. And he healed the sick folk. He cast out demons. He fed the multitudes. It was wonderful. And now things change. The change is this, that Jesus talks about forgiveness. Who wants to hear about forgiveness? You mean I got to forgive my enemies? I have to forgive those who've done me so much wrong? I have to love? I have to love those that are so unloving. I can love my own, but not everybody. Or worse yet, Jesus said, you got to take up your cross and follow me. This is tough times. This requires big faith, not my faith. I'm not up. It's not an easy thing to do. Did the disciples, all this lead them to say, increase our faith? And Jesus responds by telling really two parables. One parable is a mustard seed that's so small and tells them disciples that the faith that small, and we saw one today. Did we not have a mustard seed in that sack in the children's sermon? Did anybody see it? Did you see it? Was there a mustard seed in there or not? Who gave that sermon? Was there a mustard seed in there? There was. Did you see it? Did anybody out there really see it? That's pretty small, isn't it? That's how small a faith it takes. Just a little bit. That's what Jesus said. That's all you need. And you can go out there and you can throw a tree into the ocean. Just a little bit. That's all it takes. Imagine that. You got that kind of faith? That's what it takes. That's what Jesus says. If you're unable to move mountains or trees, then my faith must not be very big. Well, I tell you something. Sometimes I tell you, when it gets to the miracle department, my success rate's not that good. I haven't thrown many trees period. So I suspect that's what Jesus is getting at. Sometimes we need reminded we really can't trust our own faith. Even if it's as big as a mustard seed, something has to come from outside. Salvation has to come from trusting in God to give us what we can't do ourselves. A brief prayer I heard years ago, I think I'm just kind of quoting it, so I may have it wrong, but it goes something like this. Oh God, I don't pray for enough faith to move mountains. I can get enough dynamite and bulldozers to do that. What I need and ask for is enough faith to move me. That's what we need. Faith that will work in our lives and work to reach the world. Surely the disciples would have taken heart. In a way, that's good news to hear. Just a little faith is all it's got. That's all it's going to take. It's encouraging to hear them hear that Jesus said they didn't have to struggle. They didn't have to have dramatic faith. When it comes to faith, it doesn't take much. Just a tiny bit. That's all God requires of us. And along comes Jesus. The greatest challenge is not to grow in faith, but simply to use the faith. There's not increasing the faith. It's just, if you've got a little mustard seed of a faith, use it. That's what Jesus is saying in that parable. Use what you got. Use the faith that's been given to you, and you'll please God. Rejoice. Jesus doesn't require an enormous amount of faith to be a follower of Jesus. You want to be a disciple? You don't have to have great faith. Just a little bit, and you'll be a disciple. That's all it takes to follow Jesus. From time to time, the church will ask for volunteers. You know, we can always ask. You can get volunteer to serve on the consistory, volunteer to teach Sunday school. You can volunteer to serve on a committee. You can volunteer to sing in the choir. The list would go on. Well, what most people say, oh, I don't want to do that. I haven't the ability. I haven't the time. I don't have the interest. Well, that's where the gospel comes in. That's where that mustard seed comes in. You do. You got the seed. You got the seed of faith. That's all that God requires of you, is to use that faith that's given to you. Maybe the jobs that God has given to you, you don't have the gift for. That's okay. Perhaps you have other commitments, but still, you can be a part of it. You can contribute, you can give, you can pray, you can be a part of all. You can use your gifts like the mustard seed, and that's enough. Now, that mustard seed is followed by another parable. And this one is, well, I think it's always hard for us folks. You know, I'll tell you why. I think most Americans, we're so trained to think that God wants us to have a good life. God wants us to be blessed and have good things happen to us. And nothing to do with caring or doing your duty. Nothing to do with that. Now let's listen to that parable again. And I'll try to kind of paraphrase it. You can read it in your Bibles too. A servant has been out plowing all day. Now this was with a tractor, by the way. I'm sure this was the hard way. Maybe pulling the plow if he was lucky, or shoving the plow. However they did the plowing back in those days was hard work. And he comes back to the house, And the master now says, you worked so hard in the field today, I'm going to reward you. Sit down to dinner. I'll fix supper tonight. And he said, no, it doesn't work like that. After you worked hard, you serve me, then what's left over, you get. See, we are servants who have only done our duty. We are worthless servants. This is something that flies in the face of what most people think. We think we're entitled to be doing some good things in the gospel. Maybe it's just a matter of being obedient and following God's word. The parable of that dutiful servant, I think, expands what it means to be a faithful disciple. He has just said that faith is like a tiny mustard seed, and you don't have to have a great deal of that. You simply have to have faith. And faith can make us more dutiful to the master. Rather than highly skilled and heroic activity, we just simply follow obediently to Jesus. I'd like to tell a story now. You know, can you even bear with me being a... You know, one time I was a Lutheran pastor. And I like to tell stories about Martin Luther. And I'll tell you this one today. And Reverend Cobb, you can tell him about what I said, and then he can call me up and correct me and say this was improper to do. But I'll do it anyway, because he's not here. And Martin Luther one time said, after I preach on Sunday morning, when I return home, I drink a glass of beer and just let the gospel run its course. Now, that's what Luther said. Now, what did Luther mean when he said that? Did Luther say we should just drink beer? No. Luther's talking about faith. After he got up, pounded the pulpit, like I try not to do, but he preached his sermon, expounded the gospel, he would go home, pull out the Sunday paper, get a good old glass of beer, and sit back and relax. Because he knew this. He knew the power of God's word. He had faith in God that God would work. He knew the power of the sermon was not in him, but the power was in God. The word of God got into people's hearts, not because Martin Luther was such a good preacher, not because he was such a great expounder. Luther knew he couldn't do it. And every good preacher knows that. You can't do it. I can't do it. But I tell you what, God, through the Holy Spirit, can drive his word into your heart and into your lives. Luther understood that, and I hope we can understand that too. I think that's comforting when you think about that. There are Sundays when the Christian faith is presented to you as something dramatic and daring and exciting and audacious. And it's exciting. It would be a real Christian who would be signed up and get on a plane, fly across to Africa and preach the gospel. Or a real true disciple will get in his car and drive to the state capitol and carry placards in support of the right to life. A real Christian would do that. Sometimes you can't do that. Sometimes you're just limited in your ability. But this is where God comes in. This Sunday, we listen to Jesus tell us something about the faith that's within us. That faith is not a matter of quantity. It's just simply, you only need to be a faithful as the mustard seed, which we couldn't see. But that faith is enough in Jesus' eyes. And once you have faith, it's just showing the faith in your simple living. Every day, as you live your faith, you show that faith to the world. What most of you will do here this Sunday will not be spectacular. Most people don't lead very spectacular lives. If I ask you, why are you praying these prayers, what will you say? Well, that's the way my mother taught me to pray. That's the way I've always prayed, and I'll be faithful in my prayers. If I ask you, why are you accustomed to sitting in that one particular pew? I'm always amazed as I come back to places. And some of you, I see you sitting in close to the same pew. Now, you may have moved one or two pews over and fool me, But most people go right back to the same spot. Why is that? It's the habit. And that's the important thing, is that you're here, that faith is working in you. And yet here you are, and I think I can show you, if I had enough time, all the ways that you are faithful. Just think about all the things you can do in prayer. How many times have you prayed, interceded, and prayed for others? On a regular basis, you've contributed to the church, and I'm sure many of you contribute to other causes also. Others, out simply out of habit. Maybe you volunteer at the school. A lot of volunteering goes on at schools and caring for kids. All this out of a simple duty. Or it could be something as simple as this. The Red Cross is having a blood drive. And so what do? You get in your car and you roll up your sleeve and you hold out your arm and they put a needle in there and take a pint of blood. And you say, why'd you do that? I just thought I should do it. That's that little faith that works. And I could go on and on and on and think about all the ways that we show faith in our life. Let the parable of the mustard seed and the dutiful servant speak to you in ordinary ways. Just a little faith can do such remarkable things for Jesus. He has a way of taking our small resources, little things, and making such great good come out of it. Just going about your life and attempting to do your duty, just living your faith, you can touch lives, and God can use you as a disciple. He blesses your faithfulness, small though your faithfulness may seem to you.